What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Della K over Zoom video. Della K was born in Chicago and moved to Franklin, Tennessee, about 20, 30 minutes south of Nashville when she was 5 years old. Her parents were both actors, theater actors, and her mom, singer-songwriter, ended up signing a record deal. I think that was part of the reason why they moved to Nashville. So she comes from a very creative household. She actually did musical theater up through college until about 23 years old when she started to really pursue music and songwriting as a full-time deal. Della talks to us about the first few singles she had released, really being a part of the EDM dance, like DJ world, doing some top line stuff, and had some real success in that space. But from around 2019, she was just kind of sick of doing that and wanted to kind of take a break from music. Came back in 2021 and started releasing music in the vein of what she's doing now, more of that alt, pop punk, rock vibe. So she tells us about the first couple songs. She said she kind of dipped her toe in the beginning when she released The Worst Part in Old News. She tells us about the song Daughter, which she wrote for her dad as a Christmas present, and then loved it so much that she ended up just recording it and putting it out. And we hear about her two most recent releases, Let You Down and I Don't Want to Think About You. You can watch our interview with Della K on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our YouTube channel and like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Della K. Awesome. Well, I'm Adam. Very nice to meet you. Thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Sorry. Last time it got weird. I didn't want you to do it sick. So I was like, let's just push it.
Oh no, totally. Yeah. I was hoping to push through it. But honestly, it ended up working out. So thank you so much for being flexible.
Yeah, no, 100%. I would just rather have you well than be like, God, I got to talk to this idiot and I'm going to be sick. I don't want to do this. So.
Oh my gosh, no. I was so excited to do it. But yeah, I'm definitely a lot better today. So today is Gucci.
Awesome. I love your shirt. Is that a Dookie t-shirt?
It is. A friend of mine in Nashville, she collects like a bunch of band tees and she does all this like bleaching and stuff to them.
So oh, that's rad.
You can see it's like super dope.
Yeah, but I love it.
She's a homie. She hooked it up. But yeah, this is one of my faves.
That was the first album I ever bought as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. I remember that was the first band I ever got into. I heard Basket Case. I was like, oh my God, this is like my favorite band ever. And still to this day, I love Green Day, but that's cool that you have that shirt.
Yeah, Green Day is definitely one of my favorite bands as well. Yeah, that whole album is fucking sick.
Yeah, 100%. So you're in Nashville. Are you born and raised in Nashville?
So I'm actually living in LA right now.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I live in North Hollywood, but I'm originally born in Chicago and then raised in Nashville. And I grew up in a little town called Franklin, Tennessee, that's like 20 minutes south.
No way. Okay. So that's where I pretty much moved to from San Diego. So we like swap.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah. And the guy I just interviewed was from Franklin also, which is really crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Franklin's really, really, really dope. I love it there, but I feel like as far as the industry for trying to like emerge as an artist and doing kind of more of like what I'm doing, I feel like LA has been a really good fit. I feel like I've met people here that I wouldn't have been able to meet otherwise if I wasn't in town. So it's good, but I try to go home as much as I can. I actually have a trip coming up like in 2 days. I'm going to go visit my family for a little bit.
Oh, so awesome. Nice. You just missed all the snow.
I know. I'm kind of upset about it, to be honest. I know everyone else there hates it, but I mean, I love snow. I don't know.
I love it too, to be honest. Like I was stoked when it snowed because I've only been here for like 3 years. My family and I moved here like 3 years ago. And we've only seen it really snow hard. Like 2 years ago, it snowed the first winter we were here. Like, oh, hell yeah, it's going to start snowing all the time. And then no snow the next year. It was like one day, it was like half a centimeter, didn't even really stick.
So yeah, this I know.
Past week or 2 weeks ago, it was gnarly.
It's so nice when it sticks. And also, like, just seeing, I've been seeing so many videos of friends, like, you know, getting like ropes and tying it to the back of their car and like sliding on trash cans and stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. See, I want to be there to do that.
Oh yeah. I have a big hill next to my house and my kids and I were just like flying down it for,
oh my gosh, days. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you're from Franklin. You said you're born in Chicago though.
Yeah. I was born downtown Chicago. And then, we moved to Franklin when I was like about 5 or 6. So I really did grow up mostly in Franklin, but we always spent a lot of time going back and forth between Franklin and Chicago growing up. And I went to college in Chicago. I actually did like musical theater for like,
oh, wow.
I did musical theater and acting from like 9 years old till 23, and all the while doing music on the side. And I finally hit a point where I was like, I love it, but I was like, I don't really want to do this long term. It's not what I want to do. And then kind of just dove headfirst into the music stuff after that, and been doing it ever since.
So did you grow up in a musical household? Like, are you family in the industry? Is that why you guys moved to Nashville or no? Not at all.
Yeah, my parents were both actors in Chicago, and they also they were in this band together for years with my mom, my dad, my mom's sister, and their friend Paul, called Starfire. It was like an 80s rock band.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious. It's amazing. But they got to like tour through like Japan and do all this stuff, and then eventually my mom wanted to do more like singer-songwriter stuff, and they kept taking trips out to Nashville, and she kept playing like at the Bluebird, places like that. And she ended up getting a record deal with Word and doing more like Christian music. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we moved out there when we were pretty little, but she ended up not realizing that wasn't for her, and then just ended up wanting to be a stay-at-home mom. But I grew up always with her singing in the house. She now does like private voice lessons for kids getting ready for college and stuff. So she's been, I mean, whenever I need help, she's always there to help me. But I also try to, like, you know, it's like the mother-daughter thing. I'm like, I got it. I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, but she's amazing. And yeah, it's been really amazing growing up, having like just a musical family, and growing up listening to like, I grew up listening to like, you know, the Beatles and like all the classic rock stuff. That's mm-hmm. kind of like what I was brought up on. So, and like Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, like all that kind of stuff. So I always kind of was leaning into the more alt or rock scene all throughout my childhood. And so to be able to do it now in my own way is really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to talk to you about, because your earlier stuff online, you had a whole different sound, and like what you're doing now, which is rad. But was mom like a vocal coach for you at all, or was that something you're like, I'm not going to take lessons from her because it's
No, I feel like for the most part I did my own thing separately, but obviously she's like the queen of like, if I have a hoarse voice or if something's going on and I got like a show coming up, she has like all these crazy recipes for drinks and things that work like magic. So oh, wow. I will hit her up. Yeah. I will hit her up and be like, hey, you know, like my voice is hoarse, what do I do? And stuff like that. And she's always extremely helpful mm-hmm. with that. But yeah, as far as like vocal coaching, I always try to like keep it a little separate, but it is yeah. really nice having her to call upon for help when I need her.
Mm-hmm. Well, you yeah. said you were into acting and musical theater yourself, and your parents did that as well. Was that, were they kind of encouraging you to try that, or you were just interested in that? I mean, to do it all the way up to 23, that must've been a big part of your yeah. life.
Yeah. I mean, my parents did professional theater in Chicago for years. So when I started taking a liking to that, they definitely were encouraging of that. And, you know, we would go see shows all the time. We'd take trips to New York. I moved out there for a little bit after college, and I literally came back to Nashville to get my things to move officially to New York. And then I ended up meeting a producer in Nashville and I never left. And
Oh,
then that was
really?
that.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I remember my wheels started turning a little bit. They made the American Idiot, the like Green Day musical.
Yeah, the
that was on
musical.
Broadway. And I remember seeing that and like my worlds were colliding in my brain. I was like, wait. And then I was like, maybe I want to do more of the band thing. I don't know. And then it started going from there. But yeah, when I mean, they did the music thing too. So as soon as I told them, I was like, I don't really want to do musical theater anymore. I think I'd rather make my own music. They were stoked. They were like, great,
Yeah.
awesome. And, in the time that I was in Nashville, I had met a producer out there. Femke is her name. And she's does like a bunch of more pop EDM type stuff. And so that's kind of how I got into like the more deep house dance scene for a while. And I was working with some management, who was tied to Sony. And, I think I was trying to stay on that track for a while. And then it kind of hit a point where I was like, I don't even know if I'm doing this because I like it or if I'm doing it because I'm trying to get signed. And so I kind of like, and also I realized I wasn't with management that was a good fit for me. So I took a break from music for like 2 years and I was like, I left my management. And it, with that left the whole scene with Sony and just kind of took some time to myself to figure out what I actually liked. And then I started delving into the more alt sound. And I was like, this just feels even folk stuff too. I'm like folk, alt stuff, indie stuff, all of that just feels way, way more like myself. So, yeah, after like 2 years, I eventually started kind of like dipping my toe in the water and putting out a single here and there. And then eventually linked up with the producers I'm working with now and just kind of, you know, sunk my teeth in and just went for it. And so now I'm getting ready to release all the stuff we've been doing for the past year. And I'm already starting to write the next EP.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So what, cause you had, yeah, gap, at least I'm just going to Spotify, like 2019 to 2021. Was that like kind of the year? Were you just not, you weren't doing anything with music at all at that point?
And it was COVID. So I had just moved to, so I had good times. I just moved to LA, May of 2019. And it was like COVID hit. I was like stuck in my apartment. And then it was like all at the same time. I was like, my management and I weren't working out. I didn't want to continue doing Deep House with Sony. And I was just like, you know what? I quit. I was like, I quit everything. I'm going to take a minute and just like write music and have fun writing music and figure out what I like to write for a second. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I took that time to like kind of, for a while I was like writing some like almost like hip hop stuff for a while. And then I was like, no, not entirely me. Let's be honest. For a songwriter, I'm like, I love writing everything. But for me, I'm like, I'm not trying to come out as a But yeah, and then I eventually kind of, stuck with the alt stuff. I met a producer out in LA. His name is Ryan DeLude. He's amazing. He's worked with like artists like Deb Never. He's like very in that like indie alt scene. He's worked with so many people, but he's incredible. And I started working with him. And then after a while, I saw this producer on Instagram, Stefano Pigliopoco. And I was like, I really like what he's doing. And then literally had one write with him. And he and I both were like, this is a really great fit. Do you want to like write an EP or something? And then the rest is history. So I've been working with Ryan and Steph. And we've just been continuing working since then. And it's been awesome. It's been a really good fit. And I'm just really excited about everything we've been doing.
That's amazing. I want to talk to you about the newer songs. But real quick on the kind of your earlier career. I mean, you had a lot of success with that EDM stuff, right? I mean, you had a lot of, you had singles and you're doing big things in other countries. And was it hard? Was that a hard decision to make to be like, you know what? I don't like what I'm doing. The whole management thing isn't really working. Like I'm going to walk away from this all. That must have been a pretty big choice to make, because you were kind of on that track and in the door, so to speak, for that kind of track in music.
Yeah, 100%. It was a really tough decision. I still like that music. I just feel like with the dance world, you really got to be 100% in that to continue on that track. And in my free time, I find myself listening to artists that are like, I don't know, more lyrically driven. Like, I don't know, lately, like Holly Humberstone, Del Watergap. I mean,
I've had Del Watergap on my podcast before.
Del Watergap, so dope. Love his music. But just like, I feel like sometimes with the EDM world, it's a lot about melody and it's a lot about top line, you know, and less about lyrics, less about being kind of deep. And not to say that anything like, I mean, some of the songs I love the most are like not deep at all, and they're just a vibe. But I felt like and also just like the party scene, I feel like that goes along with, you know, the dance world and EDM. I've become a really chill person. And I'm like, you know, like as like I, you know, would love playing shows, love going to clubs and stuff like that. But I think that's a totally different thing than being like in the club, like in the DJ scene. Yeah. And so I just was like all together. I'm like, I want to be writing things that mean a bit more to me and that I want to look back on when I'm older and be like, I could still listen to this and maybe enjoy it. And I feel like with the DJ stuff, it maybe felt a little more surface level for me personally. So I wanted to do something, yeah, that felt a little bit more true. So it was hard, but in the long run, like, I feel like some of the songs I'm making now, like, I feel like I will be able to listen back later and feel really proud about it.
Mm-hmm. With that world of like dance and DJs and stuff, like, were you going out on like tours and having to come out and sing just like one song or two songs, like, depending on the artist? Like, I'm not in that world really. Like, I've interviewed a lot of people that are in that world and it's great and it's a huge scene. And I just always find it interesting when it's like, yeah, I'm the top line for this massive hit. But I don't know if you're on all the, you probably aren't the singer of that DJ's work, like all of it, right? I mean, so did you just come out?
No, like one off. Yeah, like one
singles.
Off things. So yeah, like, yeah, like if I were to go, like I would get asked to do like random events or something. And it would just, yeah, like literally you're there, you pop up and then you're done. And it doesn't really feel like it's fun, but I also like really missed that excitement of like it being your music and you got a band and you're like doing a full set and kind of really connecting with the crowd. It's definitely like, it's just very two different kind of connecting. Like DJ music is very like going out there and just trying to get people to party and you're just there and you're gone. And then I feel like artist stuff, you know, it's like you want to create more of an experience, I feel like, for people, and also like show your personality and talk a little bit and connect with them a bit more. And
I could just see like you just have to go out there and you're like, okay, I got 3 minutes to sing this song and hype the crowd up for, you know, 20 seconds, and then all right, thanks guys, and then just like the beat goes on.
And sometimes I feel like it's like a lot of amazing artists and songwriters who do top lines, they sometimes get overlooked because they go, you know, they go on stage and they sing that one song and then they're out. And sometimes like people in the audience, like don't even remember. They're like, cause the set is like, you know, there's people coming in and coming out and coming in and coming out. So it's like, you see that person for 2 seconds and yet maybe they, you know, were the top line for this like major track, but they don't, you know what I mean? Like people aren't getting to know them. And so I think that's kind of a bummer sometimes. Like I wish sometimes with DJ stuff, I wish the singers would get more like recognition, or the songwriter would get more recognition. So that's another thing too, for sure.
So you're out of the world for 2 years and you come back, and was the worst part the song that you started with, or was it Old News?
the worst part, then it was old news, and then I put out a song called Daughter for
right,
my
which also
dad.
Kind of changes a little bit too, right? I mean, you the first couple records are, they're not nearly as heavy as what you're doing now as far as like all pop rock, like they're a little bit, they're edging towards that way. I feel like there's like a progression when I listen to them.
Yeah, for sure. That was literally me being like, I'm gonna dip my toe, kind of like that. I'm gonna dip my toe. And then literally I feel like putting out Daughter was, honestly, it wasn't even supposed to be something I was gonna put out. I just wanted to write a song for my dad for Christmas, because he's just the most amazing human being. And I just really wanted to do something for him. And me and my friend Ricky wrote that in Nashville and made a demo, and I like played it for him and he loved it. And then I sat with it for a while and I was like, I want to surprise him and put it out. And so then I took it to my friend Ryan and was like, I don't know, maybe we could use it for sync stuff too. I'm like, let's just make it cinematic and just like have a one-off thing and just put it out. Cause I just wanted it to be kind of like a Christmas gift for my dad. So it really, I'm like, it hasn't, it really doesn't sound like anything else because it wasn't supposed to be, but I ended up really being happy with that song and just to have it, I don't know, I'm just have it forever now. And
right. I mean, what a special gift. He was probably like so happy when you gave that to him.
Yeah, he was like, the voicemail we used at the end of the song, I was going through my voicemails because I was like, maybe I have something good in here. And he called me on Father's Day. Like, this is just the person he is. He called me on Father's Day and was like, hey, like, I just wanted to call you and thank you for like making me a father and all this stuff. And I just was like, I found that voicemail and I was like, I'm done. Well, we have to put this one. I was like, well, we have to put this one in here. And so, yeah, when I did the demo for him, that wasn't in there. So when I finished the track with Ryan and put it out and showed it to him, he was like, yeah, I think we were all kind of done.
All kind of crying it out, I would imagine.
Yeah, just all kind of a wreck. But yeah, I'm super happy with that song. And just, yeah, to be able to have that and just be able to, I don't know, listen to my dad's voice on a voicemail and just have
that's
that
so
out there
cool.
In the world.
And have it forever.
It's great. Yeah, I'll have it forever. So thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Ricky.
That's awesome. And then Let You Down is one of the newer ones. Obviously, you just released one a couple weeks ago now, or maybe not even a couple weeks ago yet. But Let You Down, I love the new sound that you have, or the newest, you know, it's heavier for sure. It's like definitely the rock, pop rock-ish sound. Tell me about that one, Let You Down. And then I love the intro to the newest one, just like the muted guitar.
Yes. Thanks. Let You Down. So that was one of the first few songs I wrote with Stefano. When we got together, I think we did like one demo of something else. And then we were like, I think we want to work together. And then I came in and then we did that one. And I was like, yes. And after we started writing more songs, I like always gravitated towards Let You Down. And I was like, I really want to release this first. I think it like sets the tone of all the songs I'm getting ready to put out over this year. I just like, at first we kind of were touring with the idea of just like, I love Charlie XCX. Like I love that kind of pop sound, but then I also love the like heavy alt stuff. So we were kind of like toying with, I'm like, okay, what if we did like Charlie XCX meets alt world with like some of the like auto-tune vocal and stuff. And I know some people, I've been having this conversation with so many people lately, and people like, some people just absolutely hate the auto-tune stuff and they don't get it. And I totally understand it. But I also am like, it's a stylistic thing. And I don't know, I kind of like it.
I was just gonna say, for me, I think if I know that the person can sing like on every other track or most, and it's not just, oh, okay, this person probably sucks, so they just put this weird, you know, filter over their voice. I think that's, for me, that's where I'm like, eh, like I could take it or leave it. But I think the way you did it is really cool and it makes sense. And you can listen to your other records and it's not all the time. And you know that you can sing really well. So it's like not this Like, is she just trying to cover up the fact that she can't sing? So we're just going to put this filter over it, or
So some people, especially like, you know, Nashville friends and stuff, they're like, you can sing. Why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. It's a vibe.
Yeah, but, right. You're like, go listen to like 50 other songs I've put out that are all not auto-tuned.
But it's also like T-Pain. Like, have you heard T-Pain sing? Like, for real? He's fucking
he's good.
Crazy. And then you listen to all his stuff and you're like, why? But it's also, that's why we love T-Pain. I don't know.
Right.
So every time people bring it up, I'm like, listen, I'm just trying to be like T-Pain. Quit being a hater. No, I love the like, yeah, like Charlie XCX and Kim Petras, even when I did the pop stuff, like I really, really fucked with those two artists. And I just like how pop and fun their vocal is, but I just wanted to mix some of that a little bit with the alt stuff. So a lot of my stuff coming out is a little bit like that, but it's moving harder and harder into the alt scene, which I'm excited about. But yeah, Let You Down was like kind of that first song where we were kind of toying with mixing those kind of two vibes together. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. Like it ended up being like such a dancey, fun kind of song. And yeah, I've been waiting to put out I Don't Want to Think About You, the one that just released last week. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, I think as soon as we wrote that song, I was like, this is maybe my favorite, maybe one of my top, like at least top two, top three favorites. It just
of the batch of, that you've written or of everything of all time that you've ever put out?
Of all time that I've already put out for sure. But
okay, but
in these new batch of songs, it might be. Yeah. It might be still one of my favorites. I just like, I love that like very like OG emo, like rock sound, punk pop sound.
And yeah, that's what I love. That's what I grew up with. And I think it's awesome that it's like this resurgence of it, like a hipper version of it or modern.
Yeah, kind of. So yeah, it's been super fun. I'm stoked that it's finally out.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like I said, like just the beginning, like the like that muted guitar part, I'm like, oh, okay, this is really right. Like I knew right off the bat it was gonna be good. But yeah, I think that song's awesome. And the rest of the is Let You Down, and that are those both gonna be on this, because you said you have an EP, right?
Yeah, I have a couple more singles coming out, and then this summer I'm gonna drop an EP and then just kind of keep going after that.
Are the other songs that you wrote in that same vein, and is it part of that same collaboration that you did those two, that same
yes.
person?
Yep. Okay. So all of them are with Steph primarily. I have another one coming out in a couple months that's with Ryan and Steph. And that one is going to be a little shocking and a little interesting. We'll see how people take it. But
really?
Yeah.
In what way? And I'm curious.
Well, it's still in the alt rock scene, but it is a little bit more rock leaning. It's pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. So, and the content is a little interesting, a little heavier, a little shocking. That's all I'll say. But, we're just going to throw her out there and see what happens.
I didn't know if you're going to be like, yeah, it's going to be like, I don't know. Country song.
Yeah, no.
Definitely, but you were like, it's so different. I'm like, huh.
It's definitely, yeah, like Ryan, I will say, like, me and Steph's writing is definitely more in that, like, the two songs that you've heard, Let You Down and I Don't Want to Think About You. It's in that more like pop rock, all like punk pop scene. And then Ryan is very much more in that like indie rock sound. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more of that, like it's like the meshing of the two, so it's definitely got like more of a rock vibe to it. But yeah, I'm super super excited about it. I'm actually getting ready to shoot a video for it like tomorrow. So,
oh really, for that new one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have a video out for the other two, do you?
I don't. So yeah, I've been doing just like teaser videos just to like kind of see how it's received. And I think
yeah, like with the artwork and stuff, like all the tag, you're in front of those tag buildings. So I didn't know if that was going to be a video that you're going to release.
Yeah, I mean, we probably have enough footage to release a video, honestly. but yeah, I think too, as an indie artist, it's really hard to do full music videos for everything budget wise and stuff. So I've also just been trying to see too, like how people receive it. Like if I just do teaser videos, like with different vibes and looks for everything, like how that's received. So this is the first time I've been doing that. So like, it's been well received for these first two, but, for this next one, we're shooting a full video. So that'll be super exciting to be able to finally release something that'll be on another platform. That's right. Not just the song. So
very,
yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to hear the content of that one as well, because you teased it up and there's a video for that one. So that's awesome. Yeah. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been dope.
Yeah. I have one more question before I let you go though.
Sure.
Want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Advice for expiring.
A lot advice, of expiring artists, I could tell you that.
Expiring, yeah. Advice for inspiring artists. I think that, I mean, it's going to sound super cliche, but I would say just keep going. I feel like within the past couple of years, I've been through a lot of hardships and, you know, and like, I feel like a lot of creatives and just people in general, we have a lot of depression and anxiety, and I'm a big advocate on mental health. And I think that, you know, it can be so easy to just get so overwhelmed and shut down and just not just quit everything, or just feel like there's so many things stacked against you, you know, as far as like the industry and labels and money and all kinds of stuff. And I just think like, just remember why you love doing it and let that be the driving force and make things that you love and are proud of. And like, that's going to carry you through, and just keep going, keep making stuff. And also be really, really aware of the kinds of people you're keeping around you. You know, surround yourself with people who love and care about you, who love your art and like are always down to support you. And also just be a good supporter yourself, you know, support your friends, hype your friends up. You know, just show your people love, surround yourself with good people. And I think that's like the key. I feel like just, you know, keep going and, you know, make sure you're around people that pour into your cup as you pour into theirs. So that would be my advice. That's off the top of my head.
I love it. But yeah. I love it. I have one follow-up question now.
Sure.
Just because you brought up, you saw American Idiot on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Who played the lead? Was it Billy Joe?
No. Excuse me.
Was it Davey Havoc?
It was I'm honestly forgetting who the other lead was, but there's a artist named John Gallagher Jr.
Okay.
And he's a famous Broadway actor. He was also in a Broadway musical called Spring Awakening. That's again like a different rock pop musical. And I believe I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he played one of the main leads in that musical. And he kind of played, the Billy Joe character, if you will.
Got it. Yeah. Cause I know Billy Joe, when it first came out, he was on it. I think he was the guy.
Yeah.
And then he got Davey Havoc from AFI to do it. And I didn't know if he continued with that.
No,
thing,
I bet
but
you
it doesn't
he was
sound like it. He's probably like, okay, I'm done. We did two good ones.
Yeah, I feel like he was there for maybe like the opening or something. I wish I would have seen him. That would have been
insane.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, the guy who played his character, him, if you will, was sick.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, he's pro Broadway guy. That's why I was like, it's interesting that I thought it was cool that he had himself, and then he got somebody else, another Bay Area guy, to do it. But I figured as much. At one point he would just be like, yeah, we're gonna hire a pro.
Oh yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, I feel like whenever they get like artists or actual like musicians to do Broadway stuff, it's pretty rare, and then they don't usually do it for too long. But man, what I would give to go back in time and see that.